education is your main passion, has been for years and years.
I found out a long time ago, it's not always the smartest man that wins. It's always not the dumbest that wins. I found out that education, if you can apply what you learn to your life, that you're a whole lot better off. And I found out that most successful people do have a college degree. There's a lot of smart people that don't have a college degree, but there's a lot of smart people that do. And if we can open the doors to give everybody a chance to train their minds in whatever they'd like to do in life, we would be a whole lot better country. But we got to open that door. And thank God in Oklahoma, we do open that door. We got Oklahoma's promise. It's on top of the budget. State region tells how many students we're going to have.
And what is that, Oklahoma's promise?
It's OLAP. It's Oklahoma's promise to kids that their parents make less than $50,000 a year. They stay out of trouble and take the 17 hours of core curriculum, and they go to college. Now, the great thing about these kids, they do better than rich kids do. They're the top leaders in Oklahoma in retention and graduation. They're the best. Every year, the legislature plays around with this, and it always worries me that they're trying to correct anything, and they don't know what they're trying to correct. And the young man that runs that for Oklahoma is a very fine young man, been doing this ever since I've been on Regents, I guess, 22 years. So he's 40-something years old. And Glenn Johnson is probably as smart a man as I've ever known.
He was the chancellor of the Board of Regents.
Yeah, he used to be Speaker of the House.
And president of Southeastern Oklahoma.
President of Southeastern. Very, very smart boy. Comes from a family that lives in Washington, D.C., went to prep school there. His father was a congressman from Oklahoma. And he's a good man. He's totally good inside.
Before I get into your work as a regent, let's talk about Southeastern, your school that you love. Here you are. You've talked about your early beginnings and shining shoes and all that. Today at Southeastern Oklahoma State University, we have the John Massey School of Business. Now that is an accomplishment.
Glenn Johnson was here, and, you know, I went on the state regents. I was asked, where to go to college? Southeastern Oklahoma State University. And there, George Kaiser from Harvard. There, the doctor was from Columbia. Several in OSU. A lot of private schools, big schools. And, you know, they were very, very understanding. But they didn't know what the regional university system stood for. I run into the business world. I would hear people say something about our regional universities compared to the two comprehensive. So I decided that I was going to build a school at Southeastern through Glenn Johnson and them to have the same qualifications at Southeastern as they got at OU and OSU, and we do. I endowed, I think it's 8 or 10 chairs out there and several professorships. The state matches those, so we bring in top professors, and they're all making over $100,000 a year. You know how good they are. I haven't been around really since Glenn left. The guy that was head of it agreed to quit as soon as we got our accreditation, and he didn't do it. And I don't know that much about it today as I used to, but I still got probably 20 kids here working internships and stuff. Used to have 30 or 40. If they're in the banking school, we try to find them a place to work in the summertime, a bank in Southeast Oklahoma. If they come from here, they won't stay here. And, you know, you bring a person in here from a large city, you don't know how long they're going to stay. Because sometimes their wives can't find enough shopping to do. When I tell them 26 miles from here is all the shopping in the world you want to do, all the restaurants. We got good restaurants here. I'm going to take you to lunch here in a little bit, and you're going to be very pleased with the food.
Let me point out that the John Massey School of Business earned accreditation in the Association to Advance Collegiate Schools of Business. That makes the Massey School of Business part of an elite group that makes up less than 5% of the world's business schools that have earned business and or accounting accreditation.
That's right.
Now that's strong.
That's strong. If they just keep it. And they have to do that accreditation, I think, every 5 years. And the lady that's in charge of it now is very smart, and she's not in the business school. She's a dean. They got a reorganization out here, and I don't really understand it, but she's the one that talks to me.
David Walters, a Democrat, appoints you as a regent, Board of Regents, and these are 9-year terms. Then we have Governor Keating, a Republican, who appoints you. And then we have Governor Henry, who appoints you and is a Democrat. Mm-hmm. So that's three terms of 9 years, making you, when you complete it, probably already are, the longest serving regent the state's ever had. Isn't that true? So I guess the question is, how did you get this Republican Keating to continue that nomination?
I've known Frank since I was a young member of the legislature. His dad was on the Highway Commission, and I was on the Watchdog Committee from the legislature that attended meetings. Bill Skeith and I. He and his brother, twin brother, run around there with their dad, you know, and so I got acquainted with him. And then after he got to be governor, I was around him some. One day he got up making a speech here in Deerfield. He said, I've known John Massey since I was in knee pants. One day he asked me, do you feel like serving another term? I said, another term? Yeah, two or three of them. So he reappointed me. Now, he made the announcement in Durant. A young man from Durant became president of ConocoPhillips, Archie Dunham. Archie came here to do the Massey lectureship. And I knew Frank Keating wanted on his board. And I asked Frank, I said, I know it's not proper, but would you want to come to Durant and introduce him at this lectureship? Oh my gosh, yes. So he came down, and after the lectureship, there's a luncheon, probably for 80 people. And Glenn said, now would be a good time to announce John's reappointment. And Frank Keating jumped up and announced it and got a standing ovation. Of course, it was organized. He told me later, he said, I caught hell from some of those Republicans. And I said, yeah, I catch hell about having you down there all the time, too. Frank Keating's my friend. Henry Bellman appointed me on the Securities Commission.
Securities Commission.
Uh-huh. That was before I became a regent.
Let's talk just a little bit about some of the issues as you look back now. So how many years have you been a regent at this point?
I guess it's about 20 or 22. I've been 23.
So how many years do you have left on this?
I've just been on this term 2 or 3 years.
Okay, so you have about 6 years left on this term.
Mm-hmm.
What year were you appointed? Hunter Walters?
91, 92. The big issue then when I came on the board was setting standards for kids to enter college, having to have a 18 or 19 act score here, 22, 24 at OU. And Northeastern made theirs 20. Roger Webb was president there and a very strong leader and a good man. And I had parents calling me all the time that my kids could have an opportunity to fail. I said, you know, they got that in high school. They knew this when they was in high school that they had to do so good to get in college because our dropout rate from college, all these kids that couldn't do that were flunking out. And I guess the parents that got the toughest with me, one guy was from Hugo, and he was wanting his son to go to Oklahoma State, which was higher. It's right along the same thing. OU, there might be one tilt different. But he couldn't get in. So I said, you and your wife both went Southeastern, both done well. Why don't you send him Southeastern? And he flunked out here his first semester. I had a guy in Oklahoma City call me and just raised all kinds of things because his son couldn't get no U. And I said, he can get no U. He goes down here to Oklahoma City Community College for one semester to make grades. There's a way he can get in if he proves himself. But, well, he's a taxpayer. And I said, you don't spend much money at OU. It's very small. What's Oklahoma taxpayer spend? I mean, it's 10% of their budget. And that is more than that then. But, you know, all the things parents get in their mind, and they can't realize that these kids have got to prove themselves to themselves more so than to the school. That was a big issue for, oh, I guess 2 or 3 years, and finally it became old hat, and every school has raised theirs. I think you got to have 20 here now, and you got to have 24, I think, at OU, maybe 25. Same thing at OSU.
25.
At Act Core.
Are you surprised that there are those in the state who are not interested in really, truly funding education the way it should be?
I'll tell you what. A lot of that's brought on by colleges. Whenever I was a senator, I wanted to learn how to play golf. I went out to golf course. I was there 2 hours, and I'm going to say 6 people come up and ask me why this man wasn't working. He was working for the taxpayers. And he was a man that worked 20-something days and got 5 days off. He was a game ranger, a great guy. And I said, he gets in his time. Don't worry about him. But then, the longer I played golf and I got to be a regent, people would see a college professor out there. But they didn't know that guy taught the night before or has to teach that night. They don't know enough about it, except they're jealous. I think public schools, back whenever I was a student, of course, teachers had professional dress. And now they wear most anything they want to. I see that on college campus, too.
Does that bother you?
Yes. It bothers me. I think it's where I come from that I always wanted to wear a suit and tie. And I thought all professionals did. Now, we dress down on Fridays here. Tomorrow, I'm going to have a jacket, but I won't have a tie on. My people here in the bank don't wear ties on from them.
So are you saying there's a perception of educators that they don't work hard enough?
They do, but people don't understand how hard they work. They don't realize a teacher teaches 5 hours a day or 6 hours a day, and she's got to grade papers at night.
Right.
And then she's got to work on discipline. See, back whenever I was a kid, there wasn't a discipline problem in the classroom. The teacher sent you down to the principal, and he busted your butt. That was it. He didn't tolerate that. And today, they have so many restrictions on them. I mean, it's hard being a teacher. You stop and think, to get their lesson plan and grade papers, I don't know how they do it all. Say you got 30 in a class, smaller grades got 20, but 30 in a high school class, and you got to grade papers. I mean, that's a job.
So we have elected officials who we think we sent the best and the brightest to our state legislature, or a governor. And it doesn't seem that they hold education as in high esteem when that should be the foundation for many reasons. And we're always talking about jobs and business, but that supports that. We ought to be funding that as much as we are funding health care.
We should. We're working on this new program of trying to turn out so many college graduates. We got 14,000 more students than we had 3 years ago. We graduated a bigger percentage than our challenge was, and we didn't even include the religious schools like the Baptist, Nazarene School, Tulsa University. We didn't include all those, and we still got more. The governor did not recommend an increase in higher education budget.
Now, how can somebody even come to that conclusion?
You know, I haven't talked to Mary.
You're talking about Governor Fallon,
yes,
right now.
I've known her for many years, and I like her. But I'm sure Chancellor Johnson will have a chance to talk to her. He's very persuasive, and he's put together a good program for higher education.
What we're doing here is an interview that goes on the internet on voicesofoklahoma.com. Is it true you're studying online courses?
Yes. You know what happened? I got a report that showed what percent of classes that are being taught by a computer. See, I don't understand that. I read a lot of magazines, and they all got stories about Harvard and Yale and Stanford, MIT, all these people teaching a free course. That's free for a year. So I asked that a committee be formed to study this in Oklahoma, and let's get on top of it before it gets on top of us. The committee is working. We're meeting after each region meeting. We've got a consultant out of Atlanta that's worked the higher education for many years. And he's bringing his group in now, and I suggested our last meeting that we appoint a committee of educators. And I don't mean presidents. I mean people that's in the trenches that really understands what's going on with students and see what happened. Now, Western State College came before us first, and I asked the question, how many students does it take to pay for one of those courses? They said 10. I said, so you're charging this kid a tuition plus a fee for computers. And I said, how can you justify that? Well, we need the money. It got my attention. If we're paying so much for academics and we're charging the kids high tuition rates, then we charge them another fee for the course, which might be paying for that. Why? So we're getting into it. And I think within a year, we'll have a good policy written. And I think we'll understand their budget more than what we do now. I think we need to understand it very well because we allocate funds. That's our job, is to approve programs and allocate the funds. It's not an easy job. On allocation of funds, we got a procedure we go through. And the presidents have all agreed to it. I say all of them, as far as I know all of them, a committee of theirs presented to them. Then it came to state regents, and we approved it. So I'm hoping it works out fine.